Vivian Howard is a new breed of celebrity chef. Her TV show, A Chef's Life, won both Peabody and James Beard Awards. It's an anything but glossy look at the realities of running a high-end restaurant while raising a young family and managing a rapidly growing culinary career. Vivian's home base is in eastern North Carolina, a place with some very specific ingredients and unique cooking traditions. Vivian's first book is Deep Run Roots, Stories and Recipes from My Corner of the South. Contributor Shauna Seaver recently got a chance to talk with Vivian.
Hi, Vivian. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So first, let's just say that your book has a presence. It is impressive. 564 pages. It's about 4 pounds. You look like a movie star on the cover. It's incredible. And even more intriguing when you realize that this isn't another cookbook about the entire American South. It's actually a laser focus on this area of eastern North Carolina. So how many square miles are we talking about?
The coastal plain is about 100 square miles.
Wow.
Which is not big.
No.
But when you think about, you know, lots of our most vibrant culinary regions in the world, like, you know, Tuscany or Provence, we're also not talking about a large swath of land when we talk about those places. Eastern North Carolina is a very rural place. It continues to be a rural place when so much of our country is changing. Eastern North Carolina has not changed that much. And, you know, as a kid, I had very little exposure to other ingredients, the ingredients that don't show up in the book. So that's really what our diet in eastern North Carolina revolves around, you know, these fruits like blueberries and watermelon and apples and figs and vegetables like collards and turnips and sweet potatoes and sweet corn. And so that's really what I grew up eating. That's what the people of my region eat. And that's what I've always had to design my menu at my restaurant around. So I don't know how else to cook or write about food except in that context.
So you mentioned sweet potatoes. Let's talk about that. It's a very humble ingredient, but there are certainly lots of different kinds, yams versus sweet potatoes. It can be a little confusing when you're at the market. So what kind of sweet potatoes are we talking about?
I'm talking about the kind of red-skinned, orange-fleshed sweet potato. That's actually not a yam. A yam would be like a starchier, often white root, probably from the Caribbean. But I'm talking about a sweet potato that is orange and not starchy. And often the variety that we see the most is a Beauregard.
I was amazed how many sweet potatoes in America come from eastern North Carolina.
Yeah, I think it's something like two-thirds of all the sweet potatoes grown in the states are grown within like this 100-mile radius. And for that reason, the sweet potatoes are really a cornerstone of our cuisine.
A defining ingredient, definitely. And going that route of getting specific about ingredients in cookbooks can often lead to a lot of food writing cliches, comparing food to people, a sort of overly romantic sort of way of writing. But you actively avoid that, except in the case of sweet potatoes. Tell us about your Grandma Hill and her candied sweet potatoes.
Yeah, you know, I so badly did not want my book to be about all the lovely people in my past and comparing them to, you know, comparing my dad to a turnip or whatever. But my grandma is, my Grandmother Hill, you know, did everything in moderation. You know, she was not warm and fuzzy. She didn't make really sweet desserts. And, you know, her candied yams perfectly represented her pragmatic way of living. You know, I think when we think of candied yams, generally we think of torched marshmallows and lots of brown sugar and butter oozing, you know, from every crevice. But hers were just roasted sweet potatoes, sliced and baked with a little bit of cinnamon and nutmeg and just a little bit of brown sugar and a little butter. And as a kid, I remember always wanting more of all of those things. And coincidentally, I always wanted more from my grandma. You know, I wanted her to, like, you know, bounce me on her knee and tell me I was beautiful and love me, you know, really, really tenderly. And that was just not her way. So she is the sweet potato.
Nothing marshmallowy about her. No marshmallows in that situation.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And I loved this story about the sweet potato pan being in the home kitchens of the women that you grew up with.
Yeah, you know, my Grandma Hill, my Grandma Iris, and my mom, you know, always we had a sweet potato pan. And sweet potatoes were something that we cooked every day or every other day. And my mom just covered that pan in a paper bag and put 3 or 4 sweet potatoes on it and roasted them in the oven in their jacket. And then when they were done, they just stayed in the oven. You know, she turned the oven off, but they sat there until we used them. And they were just a mainstay, kind of a convenience food.
A real grab-and-go everyday food, kind of like we'd grab a protein bar now. You have
right.
You could take a sweet potato.
The first kind bar, I guess. My grandfather, every day after lunch, left with a sweet potato in his pocket. And it was, you know, his afternoon snack.
I love that. So say we have this. We do the batch roasting of the sweet potatoes. What are 3 ways we could use them for dinner tonight?
So I love, I make soup a lot. And so when I have these roasted sweet potatoes, I'll just peel the jacket off and cut it into chunks and then throw it in the soup. And it thickens it up instead of adding, you know, like a roux or cream. And it adds a pleasant background sweetness. I also make my kids, I'm a vegetable hider. I never thought I'd be that person, but I am.
I know.
And I make things like turkey burgers or meatloaf, and I'll fold some of that sweet potato into it, and it makes it moist, and it also adds a nice, pleasant flavor. And then I love to just split that roasted sweet potato in half, and I'll dot like a little bit of red miso and a little bit of butter. We'll sprinkle some sunflower seeds on there with some flaky sea salt and heat that gently in the oven. And that's like a meal in itself. And it's nice because you can customize it for every member of your family. My husband loves to saute, you know, turnip greens because they've got a little bit of bitterness and a little bit of sausage, and put that on top of a roasted sweet potato. So they're just incredibly versatile. And if you already have them roasted, they're incredibly convenient.
Wow, those are some great ideas. Let's talk about a special occasion dinner, Thanksgiving. I imagine the sweet potatoes on your Thanksgiving table are pretty impressive. What are you going to be doing with your sweet potatoes this year?
Well, every year we make my Grandma Hill's candied yams just because it's like having her at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But I also make like a tostone, so I'll slice them, boil them just till they're barely tender, and then smash them, and then pan fry them, and they get really nice and crunchy around the edges. And then I'll make a syrup with Chinese five spice and bacon and drizzle that over top of the crispy sweet potatoes. And that's been a huge crowd pleaser in years past. And so I'll probably make that this year. It's also great for breakfast. If you're having a Thanksgiving breakfast, it's very satisfying.
That sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much, Vivian. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Vivian Howard is author of Deep Run Roots and creator of PBS's A Chef's Life. Shauna Seaver is author of Real Sweet. And just in time for Thanksgiving, Vivian is sharing her sweet potato wisdom and that recipe for Grandma Hill's candied yams. You're going to find them both at splendidtable.org.